ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாயா.
ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாயா.
ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாயா.
ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாயா.
Where are we? The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relationship to the Supreme Truth. தஸ்மாய் ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சைதன்ய மனோபீஷ்டம் ஷபிதம் யேன பூதலே சாயம் உபகாரமாய ததாதி ஸ்வாபரந்திகம். ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ ராதா சிவ ஸ்ரீ கௌர பக்திவிந்தம். ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரி ஹரி, ஹரி ராம ஹரி ராம 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 ஹரி ஹரி. So the point Prabhupada is making is that we can only get devotional service by the mercy of the Lord. We can only become properly situated in loving devotional service. But even the mechanical hearing and chanting will at least eliminate our negative conceptions. That's the idea. In other words, we can come to the point of nishtha, or anatta nivritti at least, giving up all our bad habits and thus being peaceful by simply taking this hearing and chanting process very seriously. And we want to go further, then we have to get the causeless mercy of the Lord. So, why not take it up? That's the idea. Because we also know that Krishna is Bhaktivatsal, so if he sees we're sincere to hear and chant about him, then there's every likelihood that he will give us mercy, because he's inclined to his devotees. But again, it's not mechanical. That's the point that Prabhupada is making here in the purport. Not simply by the mechanical process of hearing and chanting. Revival of the dormant affection for the love of God, it does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting. So the dormant affection, is already there, but in order for it to be again manifest, we have to get the mercy of the Lord. Because it's a two-way thing. The Lord has to become involved in order to be, you can say, for affection to grow. There has to be reciprocation. Whereas the Mayavadis, they don't care about the Lord. They want to get their realization of their nature, Brahman nature. They're not dependent on the Lord. They don't feel dependent on the Lord. So they may get that. That's the same point being made here. Even by mechanical hearing and chanting, and sometimes the Mayavadis do, they take to the deity worship and mechanical hearing and chanting simply to come to this point of being free from the affection for material things. To come to the point of steadiness or nishtha. But that won't give us the positive thing. Therefore the Mayavadis again fall down, or therefore the neophyte devotees fall down, because they haven't come to the point of positive spiritual life, which is only possible when the Lord himself is involved from his side. So this is the situation. We have to try to evoke that mercy from the Lord. But again, it's not mechanical. Therefore, there may be some unconventional methods that may be used. In other words, crying and so on. You wouldn't think, you know, Mayavadis wouldn't think, why is he crying? Why is he dancing? The Nectar Devotion describes how one devotee danced all night just to get the mercy of the Lord. We know that Lord Chaitanya has also recommended this method of crying for the mercy. So it doesn't seem like a very sober or mechanical method. The reason may object, oh, why are you becoming emotional, crying? This is not wanted. But actually, this will enhance our, you can say, chance of getting the Lord's mercy. So therefore, the example is there. Many devotees who do become like madmen, what Chaitanya described in his own account, how he became like a madman in chanting this mantra. not caring for outsiders. The mind won't like that. Even intelligence won't like that. So we have to rise above this material mind, this material intelligence, to become fully engaged in the service of the Lord. So again, that also can't be imitated. Not that we read, oh yes, we shouldn't care for outsiders, and therefore we make a show. We're still thinking about the outsiders. It's like that one person who imitated Haridas Thakur's dancing. Haridas Thakur was dancing in such an ecstatic way, rolling on the ground and so on. Then one person, one Brahmin, he wanted to also get that kind of recognition from the mass of people. And so he imitated that, and then he was beaten by the snake charmer until he stopped. But Haridas Thakur, even he was being beaten at 22 marketplaces, he didn't stop his chanting. So we can't imitate that, but we can follow in the footsteps. We can, you know, push ourselves to try to draw the mercy of the Lord. We shouldn't be hesitant to increase our hearing and chanting or whatever in order to try to draw that mercy. So sometimes it mentions that there are unconventional methods. Convention will say, oh, you shouldn't cry. But the bhakti yoga brings in these unconventional methods of dancing like a madman, crying, falling at the lotus feet of the spiritual master or the Lord. Some way to attract the attention of the Lord. Sometimes Prabhupada saw one of his devotees dancing, and he thought that he was dancing spontaneously, but actually it was artistically. And Prabhupada mentioned, at first I thought you were dancing spontaneously, but then so he didn't appreciate so much the artistic dancing. But he was looking for some spontaneous method or affection from the devotees. So it seems like a dilemma, because with our mind we may know these things, but how does it translate into our heart? So that's what's required. We have to feel it from our heart, this affection. So we may not be at that stage, but at least we can eliminate the material affection, Prabhupada is saying here. The relief from material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. So, we can practically give up material affection if we take very seriously this process, even mechanically, the mechanical process of hearing and chanting. It will give us something better to do. It's like practically in my life. By taking up this chanting, I was able to give up smoking cigarettes. Previously, I was addicted to this nasty habit. But by chanting, by taking a vow to chant so many rounds, even mechanically, then I was able to engage myself and not be any more troubled by this material affection for smoking. So everybody, therefore, should take the process, even mechanically. Sadhana bhakti means there's something mechanical there. We're doing it out of duty. It's not that we're spontaneously, you can say, relishing the hearing and chanting, but we're doing it out of duty, mechanically. But that will bring us to the point where we'll be free from the material inebriety. And so, this is the only way we can become peaceful. Without controlling the senses, without getting free from the anarthas, there's no way we can be peaceful, because wherever we go, the unwanted desires can trouble us. We don't have control over them. They come. They have a life of their own. They'll come and disturb us. The lust and the anger and so on. So such persons who have not controlled their senses can never be peaceful in any condition. There's always, at any moment, there can be upheaval in their mind. And when their mind is so disturbed like that, how can they be peaceful? But one who controls his senses, then they can be peaceful in any condition. So even the mechanical process of hearing and chanting will bring us to the point of having, being able to control our senses. Then from there, we can expect the mercy of the Lord. We can pray for the mercy of the Lord. We can, you can say, cry for the mercy of the Lord. So that should be our plan. We don't say you should throw away reason and logic. We make a plan to come to that point. But at that point, when we're actually getting reciprocation from the Lord, then the reason and logic will no longer have much, you can say, influence over us. Because we'll be living, or you can say, reciprocating on a platform of love, which is beyond reason. If we try to bring reason into everything, then the love will be cramped. It won't be able to fly nicely. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this analogy of a bird. The love is... Reason is a very valuable thing, he says. The most valuable component of the human being. It gives him superiority over the animals and so on, that he has reason. So we think it's very valuable. But there's something that's even higher in the human being, which is love. And love wants to go higher and higher, but reason may bring it down. Say, no, this is not wanted. So we see that those who have actually developed love of God, then even reason becomes subdued, and love carries them to the highest realm. Okay, any questions?
Maharaj, I have a question. Prabhupada said, and you also quote this many times, that we should do everything cool-headedly. So this means that we should, you know, through intelligence, see everything in proper way. But like you said, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that love is something higher. And sometimes we have some duties which we should,
execute.
Yeah, and how we can distinguish what is more beneficial for us in this particular moment? Because mostly we are doing distinctions through intelligence, by using intelligence. So how we can recognize that this is more beneficial for us or higher than?
By intelligence. We're not saying to give up intelligence. But there'll come a time when it's spontaneous, then you won't have to consult your intelligence, because it'll be spontaneous. What does spontaneous mean? You're just doing it naturally. Just like water flows spontaneously from a higher place to a lower place. It doesn't have to think about it. That's its nature. It flows down. Water flows down. So when you come to that stage of spontaneous devotional service, then you don't have to think, oh, is this the right thing to do? It'll just be natural.
What about our duties? If we have some duties, but we are...
No, then we don't care for those duties. But therefore, the sahaja makes a big disturbance, because they're not at that platform, but they're imitating that platform. And they don't care for their duties, and then they cause disturbance in society. But the real Mahabhagavat, who's at that stage, then for him, like Madhavendra Puri, he says, I give up my duties. We all have a duty to take a bath in the morning. He says, I don't care anymore for this duty.
Uh, What about this causeless mercy from Krishna? Because, like you said, on the Beyond Nishta platform, we should receive special mercy from Krishna.
Yeah.
But when we are coming to Krishna consciousness, we have this mercy. Because by mercy, by Krishna's mercy, we have connection with devotees and we can accept guidance from bona fide spiritual master. So it looks like we have this mercy all the time. And why this should be stopped in one moment? Like, you know, we are purified our heart. We are on this platform Nishta, and this means that in this moment we should receive some different type kind of mercy. Or?
Yeah, the different kind of mercy is that Krishna gives himself. He may give you mercy, so much kind of mercy. He gives the yogi some kind of mercy that he can levitate. He may give the karmi some kind of mercy that he can understand a scientific experiment. He may give, you know, as a super soul, he can reciprocate in so many ways with every living entity.